I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello, welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you for being with me today. And this is the first time in a couple of weeks that I've been live on the air, so I'm so happy to be back. Welcome back to school, UBC students who are listening. So this is CITR in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX, or in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio Canada, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network, and wherever you're listening from. Thank you so much for being with me today. And before we get started, I just want to say a friend and listener lost his father recently, so I just want to send love out to him. I know he's listening, and for all of you light workers out there, if you would send him some loving energy to brighten his day, I'd really appreciate it. And coming up in just a couple of weeks, Dr. Bernie Siegel. I love this guy. He's such a sweet, sweet man. He's going to be on Synchronicity on October 7th, so you'll want to tune in for that. Now, today I have a very exciting guest, and I'm super excited to introduce her. Her name is Wendy Newman, and she works with PACS, which is the organization founded by Alison Armstrong. And if you're a regular listener of the show, you've heard me talk about Alison Armstrong. She is the creator of In Sync with the Opposite Sex, Celebrating Men, Satisfying Women, and she is an expert in male-female communication, and she's just super fantastic. So Wendy Newman lives in San Francisco, and she has led over 100 workshops about men, sex, dating, online dating, and partnerships to thousands of women in the U.S. and Canada. And as a workshop leader, she leads Celebrating Men and Satisfying Women and Celebrating Men and Sex through PACS. And she also has her own book, and she does coaching on her own as well. And her website, she has a new book coming out, 101 Dates. So you can find that at 101dates.com. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thank you for having me, Marie.
Hi. Oh, and I just want to put out the number 604-822-2487. If anyone has a question, you're okay with questions, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Questions.
Okay, so for people, I actually posted on a group for PACS graduates, but a lot of the listeners probably haven't heard of Alison Armstrong before. So can you just tell us a little bit about what PACS does and maybe how you got involved with the organization and what you do there?
Absolutely, thanks. So PACS programs, it really got started for women to help understand men. And the acronym for PACS is Partnership, Adoration, and Ecstasy. And what I want to tell you about PACS is we think men are totally amazing. We love men. What we're out to do is we're out to end the battle of the sexes. And what women find out once they do our workshops is when they put down their weapon of choice, that they're actually more powerful, have more choice, and are safer in the world because of who men are for us instead of despite them. So that's what we're all about. We're all about understanding men and helping women see what their path is with men, what their part is with men, to bring out the best in men instead of to bring out the worst in men.
I love that.
And I got started 11 years ago. 11 years ago, didn't know anything about the program at all. My best friend grabbed my hand and said, "We're not doing anything next weekend. You want to go do a workshop?"
Cool.
And at the time, I was ending a 12-year marriage, and I walked in not knowing what to expect at all and thought maybe what I could do is help end my marriage well and kindly, and that I would learn things that would help me not make mistakes in the future. And I walked in 11 years ago and never left. My life was so changed in 2 days, I immediately started working for the company.
Wow.
And amazingly, given that I was just going through such an incredibly large breakup, I wasn't calling in new men in my life in a romantic context, and so who I was left with was strangers. But all of a sudden, all of the strangers of the world started coming to me, wanting to bring me gifts. The butcher was trying to give me extra meat. The cab driver was shaving money off my fare. Everywhere I went, it was this wild experience of kind men giving me gifts.
Aww.
Without me doing anything differently.
I love that.
Weird and great.
So you mentioned, Wendy, the weapon of choice. So can you elaborate on that a little bit more? I mean, I've taken some PAX stuff, so I know about this. But for those listeners who are brand new, what do you mean by that?
Sure. Well, we do things all the time to try and get our way, which isn't a bad thing. We all need what we need and what we want and try to, you know, make our best in the world. And we try and do it as kindly as we can much of the time. And there are times when push comes to shove, we're going to get our way. And some women, and me included, have just one or two ways that are very effective to get what we need, especially from our partner. And some of us use a whole variety of tools from the tool belt. So it could be things as simple as criticizing to see if we criticize him, it might make him change. You know, criticism works really well for women. We don't like it. But if someone criticizes you, if someone tells you that dress doesn't look great on you, you are never wearing that dress again. there are things we do like that that we think are going to work really well on men to get them to change their behavior to get what we need, or to have them do something for us, or have them stop doing something that they've been doing. Criticize is a big one, and men respond very differently to criticism. Actually, they don't really respond well to criticism, and they don't change, and then we get even more frustrated and upset and figure out new ways, but figure out a new tool to use, whether it be if criticizing doesn't work, withholding might be another good one. That might be a next step. Or, you know, everyone knows their flavor. I don't need to bring out the whole list, because if you're listening, you know your favorite one. We're good at it. So we've been using them our whole lives, and our mother trained us. Our mother trained us well. She had her own flavors. So what we do, it's not that we take away the criticism or we take away our ability to withhold or our ability to use any of these tools. What we do is we actually teach women how men are different than us and how they're responding different than us and how the tools are ineffective. We already know they're ineffective. Often we're frustrated. So we teach women new ways to communicate in a way to get exactly what you need and most desire from men without the tools.
Okay, so that wonderful explanation has actually brought up something for me, because I've really worked on the criticism and asking specifically for what I need and using all of the hero language, which Alison Armstrong talks about, and I guess you do too, in Celebrating Men, Satisfying Women, and as well as her book, The Queen's Code. But when you mentioned withholding, I kind of thought, oh, well, I guess that sort of, okay, so I've been reading Bob Grant. He's a relationship counselor, and he has a website and a bunch of books. And one of the things he says to do is, if you are getting neglected by a man, because so many times women will start to chase after what they want and they'll start to pursue the man. And so he says to pull back. And so what's kind of been happening with me and some of my relationships is any time I have my feelings hurt or I feel neglected, I start canceling dates. And then I realize maybe when you just said withholding, I guess that's kind of withholding, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So it depends on the withholding, and I'll distinguish it a little bit. So there's three different ways. Well, there's probably lots of different ways, but the three main ways to withhold would be that canceling dates, that withholding participation, you know, withholding yourself. In a marriage or in a committed relationship, withholding sex, very effective way to make a point. So withholding your participation, withholding any sort of appreciation is another way we withhold. Because we withhold our appreciation, like if we don't appreciate it, they'll try harder. If we don't make it a big deal, they'll try harder. That's a woman thing. Women will try harder. Men won't. So the withholding that you're talking about, if you're upset or you're hurt feelings, it may be good to withhold for a moment so you can collect yourself and you're not coming at them upset or angry. But we would recommend not withholding your participation, actually having a clean and clear conversation with that person to let them know that they've hurt your feelings so they can clean it up. One of the things that we're all about is partnership. And if you hurt somebody's feelings, wouldn't you want to know that so you had the opportunity to clean it up instead of having her cancel dates on you?
Well, what if it's, because with the person that specifically that I'm thinking of, he's actually really good. We've listened to Understanding Women Together, which is another program by Alison Armstrong, and he's really good at apologizing for hurting my feelings, even when he hasn't done anything wrong. But I notice sometimes if he hasn't done anything and yet I'm still, like recently I felt really grumpy because of something that he did triggered me, but he hadn't done anything wrong. And I was like, my thought was, well, why not just tell him now that I don't want to get together so he can do something else and then he doesn't have to be around me grouchy because I don't want to take it out on him. But when I told him I didn't want to see him, he got really upset with me. And then I started feeling upset with him because I was trying to do him a favor and then he was angry at me. So then it sort of grew into this bigger thing. I don't know. Anyway, it's just,
it can be a spiral, and certainly life is messy, and you just want to see if you can keep distinguishing out, are you withholding to punish him or are you withholding for another reason? So I'm talking about the withholding to punish. Withholding, if you're dating, withholding so he doesn't see the worst in you or not the greatest version of you, that's a kindness, right? Or if you're withholding because you think that you want to be with him every minute of it, and this is for every single woman dating out there, you really love him already, you're not sure if he likes you back, he's moving at a much slower pace than you are, yeah, withholding your enthusiasm might be a good thing. You know, try pacing, try matching where he is versus wanting to text or call him every 5 seconds when really that's not where he is at this moment. So that type of withholding, I actually do recommend. The type of withholding I'm talking about not doing is the type that's punishing him.
I think what's happening for me is that I've been practicing the withholding of too much enthusiasm and moving too quickly. And what's started to happen is that my default is that I am sometimes punishing him. I might not consciously be thinking that, but there is this underlying, well, fine, I'm just not going to see you because I know how much that upsets you. So there.
Yeah, and it's this crazy balance, this crazy dance balance that we have to do between being our authentic self, showing our authentic enthusiasm, because he needs to know if he's going to be relating to you and hanging out with you. He needs to know that, yeah, you really like him. You don't want to withhold your excitement about him, and at the same time sort of trying to pace and match. It's a tricky dance.
It is. Yes, because we are, Alison does say be authentic, and then there are things that you don't want to be totally authentic by calling him every 5 minutes, like you said.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Is there a rule of thumb? You mentioned matching.
I pace. I try and pace. One of my favorite things to do that I learned much too late in the land of dating was to let them lead. Let them lead. Not kick back and do nothing and let them plan every date and call every time. That gets old for them fast, too, because they need our encouragement. And they also need our partnership. But especially in the beginning, and especially if you think you've already overdone it a little bit, which women can tend to do, me included, would be to let him generate. And one of the things that you do when you're letting him lead and generate is you're able to see his level of participation, what he has time for, what he has enthusiasm for, and then you get to see if he's really all that interested in you. You know, if we're calling all the time, as women, if we're calling all the time, if we're texting all the time, and they're saying yes to our advances, you don't know. He could just be, you know, saying yes to low-hanging fruit because he didn't have anything else to do, and maybe you might not have been first on the list. Maybe you are first on the list. And it's good to find out, and the way you find out is to let him lead, let him drive.
But that's not to say you can't start up a conversation with a guy who's kind of shy or something, right?
Oh, absolutely. Especially, thanks for saying that, especially in the very, very beginning, and especially for anyone who's single and online dating, highly recommend for women to reach out. And I so wish that I could tell every woman in Canada and America that, and in the world, that all they needed to do if they were dating was get on a website, get on a Match or a OkCupid or whoever, right? Get on a site And once you're on that site, make your profile authentic and just kick back, and all the great men will come to you, and you'll know he's the right one because he picked you, and it all turned out great. Not my experience, and also not my experience in all of the women that I coach. I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of women about this. And I would say, so I went on 121 first dates. I went on 120 first dates before I met my man. And of those 120 first dates, most of them were internet dates. And I would say 80% were men that I reached out to. And the men that I reached out to were the best matches for me and lasted the longest in the courting period.
Hmm.
So highly recommend what I call dropping the handkerchief. Good friend of mine coined the term. You got to drop the handkerchief. You got to drop the handkerchief, lay it out there, see if he picks up what you're laying down. And if he picks it up and comes after you, great, you've done your job. And how you would do that is you'd be the one who reached out. You'd be a friendly hello. You just wouldn't do the pursuing. You'd be a friendly invitation, letting him know you're out there. You can do that online by writing first, and you can do that out in the world by striking up conversations. You might be at a gas station and say something like, oh, wow, an Audi A3, they're so cute and economical. Do you like it? I'm thinking about getting one. How do you like your car so far?
Cool, that's a great
one. You don't want an Audi A3. But it could be a start. It'd be an opening.
Oh, but then is that authentic if you're talking about a car you don't really want?
Well, you could say something that would be more authentic for you.
All right. Well, it's time for a break, and it looks like we have a question as well. So this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. We are speaking with Wendy Newman. You can find her at 101dates.com, and also you can find the programs by Pax and Allison Armstrong at understandmen.com, and we will be back with more Synchronicity very shortly.
Metamorphfest is Mount Pleasant Neighborhood House's annual block party. We're taking over three blocks around Fraser and Broadway on September 28th from 12 to 6. There are three streets of food, art, and two stages of music with performances by hip-hop duo K-Rec and Estia Elements, gospel trio The Sojourners, and Vancouver punk band Peace. Western Front is back this year with Sonic Playground, as well as installations throughout the neighborhood hosted by Broadway East Art Walk. Come celebrate Mount Pleasant with us on September 28th at East Broadway and Prince Albert near Fraser Street for a full day of music, art, and more.
50 BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
The 32nd Annual Vancouver International Film Festival, one of the largest festivals in North America, runs from September 26th to October 11th. Over 140,000 film fans enjoy a dynamic roster of 340 films from 70 countries. Considered one of the most accessible and friendly festivals, the 16-day annual celebration of film features renowned Canadian, Asian, international, and award-winning films, as well as documentaries from around the globe. For full details, go to viff.org.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and right now we are speaking with Wendy Newman, and she is at 101dates.com, and Understand Men is the Allison Armstrong PAX organization where they do all the awesome workshops, and Wendy also does some workshops and coaching as well. My website is spiritualshow.com. You can always find me there or on Twitter. I am Marie Bernard, and you can also find me on Facebook at Marie Bernard. Bernard or Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. So anyway, welcome back to the show, Wendy.
Thank you.
Hi. So I'd like to talk about your book, but before we do that, you are teaching a program. The closest to Vancouver is the Understanding Men or Celebrating Men, Satisfying Women is coming to Seattle on April 26th and 27th of 2014, and you are leading that workshop, aren't you?
I am. I love leading up in Seattle, yes.
Yay. So what are women, and this is specifically for women only, this workshop, and what are women going to learn and why? Because this is a by request workshop, so they need 11 more participants to even make this workshop happen. So why should 11 more people from this show sign up for the course?
Well, let me tell you, I will teach you how to understand men. I will teach you man ease. Murray had mentioned a minute ago about the language of heroes. We actually will teach you words that we did not come up with on our own. We got these words from men. Men said, very slowly and carefully, if you use these specific words, we will hear you. We will stop what we're doing and go, huh? We will hear you. Please use them for good, not for evil, the men said. So so we took that under advisement, we took their words, and we created a program around them to teach women what we've learned about men for the past 20 years. And Alison Armstrong, for over 20 years, has been studying men to find out what brings out the best in them and what brings out the worst in them. And we find out that it has everything to do with the fact that they're responding to us. So we teach you about the words. We teach you different ways that men are different than us that we don't even know about. That'll help you, just once you understand them, it'll have you relate to them completely differently without even having any different effort or action at all. Like I said, I came out of the workshop and 2 days later, I couldn't figure out why I was being run over with gifts by men I didn't know. So what we'll teach you is how to understand men, so how they'll hear us. There are men in your life that you would really like for them to go deep when you're in conversation with them, and we can teach you how to get there. We can teach you how to have men open up to you. I have men opening up to me all the time. And you don't have to know them for 100 years. You just have to have it be really safe for them, and we teach you how to be safe. We teach you things about men that will have your feelings not be hurt anymore. Our feelings as women get hurt a lot by actions that men take. And once you understand what's really going on and how you can work with them, hardly comes up at all. So to really, in 2 days, your whole life with men will be different. I know it's a huge promise, but it happened for me so much so that I had to come to work for the company immediately.
Wendy, it's interesting you mention about the women's not feelings not being hurt anymore, because my experience, even though I understand why men do the things they do and what, so some things that women take super personally have really nothing to do with their feelings about you. It's just how they are, like the fact that men are single focused and tend to focus on one thing because they're hunters. Biologically. And so we feel like we're being ignored when really they're just not hearing us because they're focused on something else. But for me, like, I'm so ultra sensitive, even though I know it's not personal, sometimes I still take it personally.
Yeah, but did you notice that you can at least see it now and understand it and recognize it, and while your feelings might be hurt, you now have somewhere to go with it? You can see what happened?
Yeah, like, I'll say, you know, I know you didn't mean to hurt my feelings, I know it wasn't personal, and I'm still feeling this way, so... I need you to
apologize. It doesn't solve all her feelings, for sure. And there are things, you know, obviously life is messy. People are going to get their feelings hurt. What I noticed is 80% of the things that would have hurt my feelings didn't even come up as hurting my feelings anymore because I could spot what was happening in a second. I'm not that ultra sensitive. So we're a great balance to have on the phone together because that doesn't come up for me as much. I'm kind of a self-cleaning oven, you know, something will happen, my feeling will get triggered, and then I'll backtrack it, kind of reverse engineer the situation in my head to see what happened, and then, okay, that's what just happened. Really quick example of that is, as women, we often get our feelings hurt when they're not paying attention to us. I was on a road trip down to San Diego from San Francisco with my sweetie. We're actually going down to Understanding Women together. We were driving down there, and you know, long road trips are perfect for conversation, for a deep conversation. And we were on the coast. We were looking at this gorgeous Pacific coast, and we were driving away, and I'm chatting away, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he stopped listening to me. And I repeated, I asked him a question on something I just said, and he said, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear you." And in that moment, triggered, my feeling was hurt. My feelings were hurt. And just in just an instant. And then I realized, and then I stopped, I took a breath before I said anything, and I just realized we just rounded a curvy bend on Highway 1, which is a pretty dangerous coastline. And he actually had to shift focus from listening to my girl and driving to, oh, wait, I got to pay attention to the road here. Couldn't hear me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was only 5 seconds. But that could have been a whole pouty fest. How could you not be listening to me? You're not doing anything. We're trapped in this car together. How could you not be paying attention to me when I'm talking about the one important thing that I've been saving for this trip to talk to you about? Don't I matter to you? We go down this whole road of don't I matter to you.
Yeah.
Well, if you really loved me, he'd be listening to me. If you really cared about me, he'd be listening to me. He just doesn't value what I say. None of that's true. None of that's true. As women, we have the ability as a multitasking person to listen and course correct on the road at the same time. We can round a bend, listen to conversation, and answer the question of the person in the back seat when they're talking over the person in the front seat. They can't do that, and we don't understand it. We think they're just like us. They're human. They're men. Men and women are all the same. They're just like us. No, 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 no. No, he actually couldn't hear me, and where I would have gone was straight down the hole, and he doesn't care about me. So the really great thing about learning specific things that cause us to be different doesn't excuse men's behavior. I don't want anyone to think, oh, they're just going to teach me how to deal with how men are. No, we're actually going to distinguish out for you the very clear differences between men and women so you can work with the design and get what you need, so you can re-clarify and clean things up quickly. Did that help?
It does, yes. And it was, I actually, the road thing is good because I understand what that's like. If I'm really focused on getting out of a hairy situation on the road, I actually will tell a person in the car, if they're really chatty, I can't listen to you right now. I need silence so I can figure this out. So I can relate to that. And it's interesting what you said about leaving a safe space for men to open up, because what you'll find, women a lot of times think that a lot of men don't talk that much, but once you're a safe person to talk to, they never shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Really? It's like,
yeah, you have a whole new problem on your hands.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, when are you going to listen to me now? I'm so happy that you're telling me all your feelings, but I like to talk too.
That's right. Can I have a turn?
Exactly. All right. Well, Wendy, let's talk about your book now. And if you want to sign up for the PAX workshop, Celebrating Men, Satisfying Women, that's April 26th and 27th, 2014. And you can find that at understandmen.com. And there's also one coming up closer to the end of this year in November in Edmonton as well. This show is broadcast all over the place. So if you're anywhere near Edmonton and that's more convenient for you, go onto the website, Understand Men. And there's all over North America, there are events happening. So check that out for sure. And so, Wendy, let's talk about now your book, 101 Dates.
Oh, thank you. So it was a complete accident. No one ever intends to go on that many first dates, I can tell you right now. But after my marriage ended, I did the PAX programs, and I got very clear about what I needed, what I was looking for, and I set out to find my next partner. Little did I know it would take 10 years.
Whoa, really?
But I had lovely relationships that did not lead to marriage in there, and mostly what was happening for me was I just didn't find the right mate for me right until now. I just hadn't found until Dave came along. So I had lovely partners who just didn't have a matching future, et cetera, et cetera. But what I did was I employed the information I had at PAX Programs to sort well, to sort for the type of man that would make me happy potentially for the rest of my life and provide what I needed. What I had found before then, if you have listened in sync, you know that most women aren't very good at dating. We usually say yes to the cute one standing in front of us that looks good enough and is paying a lot of attention to us, which is what I had been doing before. So I started actually dating in the sorting process to see if I could find my mate. And 101 dates actually is a two-parter. It's like two books in one. The first part is a how-to, but it's not a how-to-date, because, like I said, nobody wants to be an expert dater. It's how to be graceful, how to be authentic, how to be yourself, and how to do it effectively and efficiently so you can give your authenticity, you can give your heart, but you don't give everything away, including all of your energy and time and all of it. So I teach you how to be efficient, how to not give too much, how to set boundaries clearly, how to be gracious, and do it in a way where you can move swiftly through the dating process. What I'm hoping through my 121 first dates is I have made a what not to do list, don't do what I do list, so you're not out there after, 120 dates. I don't want that to happen to anybody. But I learned a lot, so I actually wrote a lot of sort of expert tips that I wish I would have known as a newbie, because there are a lot of things that we do by nature. We women will do things when we're dating that will cause us to want to stop dating forever. And we don't have exact words for things like how to end it when you know he's not the one. How do you cut it off without having to go on and on and on? Or how do you do it politely? Or there's all these how do I do this? How do I do that? One of the things that's hard for us as women is we want to be pleasing and we don't want to displease men even if we don't like them. If they like us, we will feel tension because they like us. And we'll feel obligated or like we owe them something. So that whole piece makes dating very uncomfortable. And I literally give women one-liners. In this situation, you can say this, or you can say that, or you can say this other thing. If he persists, you can say this, and you can say that, and this is how you cut him off. So we literally walk women through how to deal with uncomfortable situations. I talk about paying for dates. I talk about why he didn't call back, all of the upsets. And the thing about it is I'm like the sister who's just 1 year older than you on the trail. I've already walked this trail. So I'm your sister. I've been there. I know it. It hurts. It sucks. I've been there. And I give women hope to keep going until he shows up. My whole book is about how to keep women standing when all they want to do is sit down. And the other part, the second part of the book, is 101 short stories of the dates I went on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of them pretty juicy.
Wow.
Some of them are hilarious. Of course, some of them are short and boring, but because they're short and boring dates, I try and make them funnier, obviously, in the writing, because I'm a writer, but some of the dates were quickies. And some of the dates were just so obnoxiously bad they had to be written about. So it all started when I had one terrible first date. Number 54 was so bad that I wrote a little blog about it, and my married friends jumped on it. I think I've kept marriages together from my dating blog. I've done the world of married people a favor with that dating blog. But at the end of it, my girlfriend said, "Well, you started at 54 and you went to 101, and we never got to know what happened after each date." So I went through and I wrote all 101, and I wrote the what happened at the end. And so it's a bit of both. It's a how-to, and it's short stories that will elicit commiseration. And that's my book.
Wow. I wish, because I've gone on over 100 first dates in just a couple of years. And yeah. I wish I had written little notes on every one of them. I sort of stopped counting after about 80. I was like, yeah, I'm just whatever. But
yeah,
I mean,
exactly. Whatever.
Whatever. Another one. Well, now I had been in a relationship for a really long time where it was sort of, we were like roommates, brother and sister type situation, and rather than partners or romantic partners. So I was really scared to date. And so I just started going out with anyone who didn't scare the hell out of me. So anyone who didn't seem like an axe murderer or something like that, I would just go out for the practice of going on dates. And now I date a lot fewer people because I don't have time to go out on 100 dates. Because there were some weeks I was going out on like 8 or 9 dates in a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
But now when you said it took you 10 years, that's a little frightening to me.
Well, there were a couple of years and there were one of my first dates lasted 4 years, so
okay.
It didn't take exactly 10 years to get through that many dates. It took 10 years between my marriage ending and me finding my partner.
So I'm curious about the longer relationships. Was there, I try to look at my relationships as learning experiences. So even if they don't lead to marriage, I've learned a lot. But I can imagine spending 4 years with someone if your goal is to be married. I mean, at what point did you realize he wasn't the right guy for you?
Well, I realized I knew him well. At the time I lived in Sonoma, California. It's a small little town up here. And we already knew each other as friends. Everyone knows everyone in Sonoma. And when I met him, we were friends. I already knew who he was when we started dating, and he said to me that he really liked me. He said, I really like you. I think you're amazing. I'm a huge fan. And I'm never going to fall in love with you, and I'm never going to get married to you. So I knew the minute we started dating that we had no future. But I didn't care because he was really cute. And at the time, I was building a company that I built and sold 12 years later. So I was building a company, and I was working for PAX, and I was still a little stung from the breakup of my marriage, and I fell into it like so many women do, and I didn't care. And when I did that, it was a mistake. I mean, not he was a mistake. He was great, and we had a great time for 4 years. But it burned 4 years of daylight in my life for finding a partner. Sort of glad it worked out that way, though, because I'm totally in love with my partner, and I would not have had him. So I don't regret it, but I think that it is a mistake in general for if marriage is a woman's goal to do what I did. And honestly, at the time, I didn't know that marriage was my goal. And at this moment, marriage is not my goal. Dave and I are having a commitment ceremony, and we live together in San Francisco, but we may never get married. It's not my point. It's a path for many, many women. For me, does it make me feel any more secure? And I don't think that he or I would be any more committed than we already are. We're in.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that, Wendy. I really appreciate it. So what would you like to talk about next? What do you think is most important to cover?
Well, is there any questions or would you like me to...
I had one person calling in and then they disappeared. So I don't know if it was a question or something else. Someone had actually asked on the PAX group, the group of graduates, she had asked about... what was the word? It was relationship agreements. She called it, Alison Armstrong refers to in Sync with the Opposite Sex, a servicing agreement. And so she actually wanted to know a little bit more about that. So are you comfortable covering that topic?
Are you comfortable with me covering that topic?
Yeah.
So service agreements, Allison talks about how wouldn't it be great if everyone was in great shape and really authentic and just expressed that what they were looking for was a sexual relationship, like a friends with benefits relationship, and she refers to them as service agreements. I thought that was a great thing, and I do think that's a great thing for many women. I'm not opposed to them at all. And service agreements is my real answer to why did it take me 10 years? Because in 10 years, I had 3 service agreements, three different partners, one for 4 years, and the other 2 for 3 and 2 years. So I would be in great shape for dating. I'd be taken care of. I wouldn't be picking the next guy because I was sexually hungry. And even if he wasn't quite a match, I was going to settle down. Just, I'd be in great shape. I think service agreements are great for women who are not looking for their partner. If you're in that space where you're building a business or raising children or going to school and you're not looking to commit to a partner, I don't recommend them. I don't. Because what I learned in 10 years, sorry, Allison, I love you dearly, but what I learned in 10 years in my 3 service agreements was no matter how good I was at dating, no matter how good I was at compartmentalizing and separating out my experience with my friends with benefits partner, I think a little part of me was always not totally free.
Yeah.
Not, my heart wasn't 100% free to meet my partner. And it wasn't until I stopped after a decade did Dave show up.
But then how long, okay, because this is, I agree with that too, because I've had partners where, and I haven't called it a servicing agreement, but there have been guys that I've met who are really nice, and it's like, well, you know, you have some of the things that I want, so I'm happy to date you, and you can sort of be my, you know, like what would usually happen, and I would say you can date whoever you want, I'm going to date whoever I want, and we'll be sexually monogamous. They usually end up not dating anyone while I'm dating a bunch of other people. But what happens is my heart still, at least half my heart, even though I know it's not the right guy, is in it and starting, and then I start, the longer we're together, I start thinking, oh, well, maybe, especially if you've had a run of like 20 crappy dates.
Yeah.
And this really sweet guy is great in bed. He's giving you all this attention and just adores you. Who wouldn't be starting to think, well, maybe I should be with him?
Exactly.
And then I start to get really scared because it's like, well, I want to be with him because I don't see anyone better, but I'm really scared because he's not the right one. And that's a really, really tough position to be in. So I'm curious, though, how long did you have to go without sex before between giving up
long.
On that? Not that long?
Not very long. And in fact, my last one, it was the guy you just described to me, that for you, that was my last one, where I totally adored him. And on our second date, I said, I totally adore you, and we have no matching future. But do you want to hang out? And we did for 2 years, 2.5 years. And luckily for me, and he did, he wanted to try. God bless him, he wanted to try, and I felt terrible because I knew he wasn't the right partner for me, so I would tell him no. And sure enough, he finally went and met someone, and she was the right one for him, and they're off, and they're married and are getting married, and everything's great. So when he went away from me, while I wasn't ready for him to leave, I was really glad it turned out that way. Even not knowing my future, I was really glad that he was the one that found someone because he wanted to make it work with me. And sure enough, let's see, how long was that? 4 months. 4 months without a friends with benefits deal.
Hmm.
Seems like an eternity, doesn't it?
not when, I mean, I've had relationships where I was committed in a relationship and not getting it for 4 months. So that's, I think, in the interest of finding my one, I could probably sacrifice that. But I am curious, though, what was the question I wanted to ask you? Oh, it's just totally gone now.
Can I clarify something?
Yes, please.
So my friends with benefits, what they looked like was boyfriend-like.
Yes.
So I'm thinking that if a woman had a friends with benefits that maybe she saw once every 2 months, she might not experience what I just described. What my friends with benefits, we saw each other all the time. We saw each other usually at least once a week, but usually more. And we did fun things together. It looked like boyfriend light. The difference is we knew it wasn't going anywhere. So that's what I mean by they had a piece of my heart, whether I wanted that or not. We just do. We fall in love with who we have sex with on an ongoing basis.
Yes. And Alison Armstrong actually talks about that in Sync with the Opposite Sex,
yeah.
If you're interested in that. And that's an audio program. Okay, so the question I was going to ask now is, how do you know if he's the one or not? Because I kind of feel like at this point I've been with, I've had a couple of men who were really, really great. And I'm starting to think, I mean, there's been a lot of men who were very obviously never going to be the one. And then other people who are so wonderful and so compatible with me on so many levels that I wonder if I'm just subconsciously intentionally pushing people away or... So how do you know? What's the criteria without being overly picky and also without being overly settling?
Ha, that's so great. So the real answer for me is much longer, like 4 workshops longer than the time we have for. We have 4 workshops celebrating men satisfying women, and on the 4th one, celebrating men in marriage, there's 2 more in between, one I lead about sex, another one we lead about setting boundaries and receiving, called the Queen Workshop. But on the 4th workshop that I did, celebrating men in marriage, it's a 3-day workshop where you dig in and you find out for you what do you need to be happy for the rest of your life. So I have this list, but it's not the type of list that women make, you know, 6'3", blue eyes, has nothing to do with how they look, how much money they make, all that kind of stuff. So the list that we make really digs into who must he be before he even shows up in my world? Who must he already be to have him be a great match for me? To have him be the one that can handle me? And then we make a second list of, as you're getting to know him, what qualities, what characteristics, what lifestyle choices, who is he that you would marry him or that you would commit to him for a long-term partnership? So who does he already have to be when he shows up? And then once you get to know him, who does he have to be for you to say yes to that for the rest of your life?
And I just...
My list, by the way, 3.5 pages long.
Wow.
And I actually had not, and I did that workshop 10 years ago, and the list is the same. 10 years later, the list is still the same. So I, in fact, it got a little bit longer. So I whipped it out about 1.5 months. I was coaching someone, actually I was leading one of my dating classes, and someone said, who had done the workshop, does Dave have everything on your list? And I had to laugh because I didn't know. It had been filed away. I pulled it out. I printed it to my computer. I printed it out. And I read it, and I almost started crying because he had every single thing on my 3-page list, everything. And then I forwarded him the list, and he started laughing. He said, wow, even that one, you did good. So I don't believe in over-expectation thing that we talk about in our culture. I just don't. I mean, there are some things that aren't realistic because things on your list might be opposites from each other. So, you know, you might want to have a girlfriend do a quick check to make sure one isn't canceling out the other. But outside of that, I don't think there's asking for too much. I just don't. But one of the sorry, this is a longer answer.
No, one
of the things that women do is we pick on chemistry. You know, he's got to be 6'4" with blue eyes and et cetera, et cetera. If you go onto my site, you'll see a very cute 2-minute video about what happens when you pick off your list, off your characteristics list, who you pick. So we pick on chemistry, and we hope to get happily ever on top of that. You know, we want him to be sexy hot, but we need him to be dependable. We want him to have a cute butt, but we need him to have our back. And I'm not saying you have to pick someone who you're not attracted to. My man is hot and tall. So it's not like you can't get that. It's not like you can't get chemistry. But there are so many more things that you need to look at for keeping it together for the long haul.
Thank you. Oh.
And you can get that through PACS. And if you're not going to do all 4 programs like I did, you really want to, where you want to start looking, and this is not at all the complete list, but where you want to start looking is start looking at your best friends. What qualities do they have that you admire? What qualities do they have that are the same as you? What makes them in your tribe? That's where I'd get started. And then just really look at what's important to you. What do you value? What values are highly important that if they are a conflict, it's going to be a problem. And sometimes when they're really cute, we override that.
Thank you, Wendy. Well, and I just thank you very much for that and for looking at your friends. I really love that tip. And the men in marriage is not necessarily for people who want to get married, right?
No, like, not at all. I just outed myself as one who does not want to be married.
Exactly.
And I did that course right in the middle of my separation to become divorced. So it's really, I did that and it made a profound difference for me because it's for women who don't want to be married because it has you solid in your choice. It's for women who do want to become married because you'll have that clarity, you know, what it is you're looking for. And if you're already dating someone, you can see, is he the right person for me to marry? There are 12 things that men look at when they're looking at a partner to see if she is the right person to marry. And you'll find out what all 12 of those things are. And you'll also find out that our culture has been talking us out of being those things for the past 40 years. So it's also really great for women who are already married because there are things that may not be working that you just don't have access to figuring out what is it? What's that thing? What's that gray area thing that just isn't working right where you can fine-tune it and take a really great marriage to the next level? So, yeah, it's for everybody.
And okay, I'm curious. So what if, like you're saying, a really great marriage to the next level, what if you've married someone who maybe wasn't the right person for you? Is there a way to salvage that and turn it around?
Well, if you married someone who was not the right person for you, I would recommend not being with someone who's not the right person for you.
Okay.
But if you married someone who doesn't have a particular... If it's just a matter of changing behaviors or aligning on something newly, that's a different conversation.
All right. And I just want to clarify something, Wendy. I really appreciate you getting so in-depth into this. And thank you for answering my questions. So you said that the list of three pages that you have, and everyone's list would be different, had nothing to do with the way he looks or how much money he makes. But what if... For me, like, I've come from a background of poverty. I actually have this fear of, like, being barefoot and pregnant in a trailer park. So if a guy doesn't make more than, like, three times what I make, it terrifies me to think of spending my life with him, even if he's perfect in every other way. Should that be on my list, or do I just need to get over that?
Well, I'm going to leave that to you. Your standard is your standard, and I'm not going to tell you what you should or shouldn't have on your list like that. What I do want to say is chemistry will bite you in the butt every time.
I'd be poor for a hot guy.
The way he looks, that's one thing. But but the three times, so I understand that what you're looking for is safety and not being barefoot in a trailer park. I can appreciate that. Not that many people want that. So... what I am getting to next is your safety. There's some safety in the fact that he makes three times as much as you do. But what if he lost his job?
Mm-hmm.
And what if the industry that he's in went belly up, so he can't get another job in that industry? What if he's going to be unemployed for a year and a half before he can figure out what to do next, because his entire industry went belly up? There's no guarantee. You know, I would look for, personally, I would look for where is his commitment instead of how much does he make. You know, if he grew up, so I, like you, did not grow up with a lot of money. I did not. And I don't want to be poor. It sucked. My man grew up the same way I did. And so he has that same shared experience of childhood where he doesn't want that either. And he works really hard to have that never happen. Now, whether he was, you know, in the service industry, in the airline industry, in the tech industry, in the whatever industry, whether he was making $100,000 or $400,000, I know that he's going to make darn sure that he's not going to be back where he was. So it's more his attitude than it is his industry or his salary. So I'd look for where he's coming from versus money. But if you want to look for money, more power to you. I have no problem with that. If that's important to you, you should have that. What I do want to have you notice, though, is when the trick is we as women are becoming very powerful. You know, we're radio talk show hosts, and we're workshop leaders, and we're career women, and we know things, and we have expertise, and we make money. And then all of a sudden, he needs to make more. Oh, and he has to be taller, too. But see, we're getting taller, and we have taller shoes. I'm 5'7", but I love a good 6-inch heel. So all of a sudden, I'm running around at 6 feet tall, making the money I make, and expecting to find lots of men who make more than I do and who's taller than I am. If we're looking only by that, our pool is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. You know, if you need him to be more famous than you, Marie, you're going to get yourself in trouble. We become more known. We're starting to narrow our own pool based on who we are in the world.
Thank you, Wendy. All right, well, Parts Unknown is coming up here on CITR in about 4 minutes. So, Wendy, I'm going to put out your website again. Your book is 101 Dates, or 101 First Dates?
The book is 101 First Dates. The website is 101dates.com.
101dates.com. And if you're wanting to attend the workshop that Wendy is going to be leading in Seattle in next spring, 2014 April, go to understandmen.com, and you can also, I'm sure you can find a link on 101dates.com as well. Is that right?
Yes.
And we've got a couple of minutes left before we close the show, so I'm just wondering, what would you most like to leave listeners with?
Oh, I would just love to leave listeners knowing that for women, you are magical to men. They would not love their life without you in it. And everything that happens between you and men is happening because they're responding to you. So just pay attention to that. Just know that how they're acting and reacting is in direct response to how you are with them. And we all have access to be our gracious self with each other.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Wendy. I really appreciate your time. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. And I will see you on Facebook. Is it okay if I friend you on Facebook?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, great.
I will say yes immediately.
Yay. Okay. So again, this is Wendy Newman, 101dates.com. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much.
Take
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. So again, that was Wendy Newman, and that was, I had so much fun. I hope you enjoyed the hour. Coming up in just a moment here is Parts Unknown, and I want to let you know there were a few people who called in, and I answered, and it was just like background noise. I couldn't hear anyone, so if you were actually trying to ask a question, I apologize. I wasn't able to hear you, but thank you so much for calling in. So coming up in just a moment is Parts Unknown. I know you want to say namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Chris Riffick is in the background. So I will be back next week with more synchronicity. And remember to tune in on October 7th because Bernie Siegel is going to be on the show. And I love Dr. Bernie Siegel. He is such a sweetheart. So I'm just trying to find the Parts Unknown show here. Well, okay. So have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
Bonjour, Canada. I am your queen. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Splendid.
Sea salt, malt vinegar, newspaper wrapping, red sauce.